seems to me that more and more today, people tend to describe the Christian gospel only in ways that are positive and almost relentlessly affirming. In the popular Christianity of 21st century America, the gospel sometimes seems to have been distilled into a kind of all-purpose tonic. In place of the one true God revealed in Jesus Christ, a God of both mercy and judgment, a God whose law was given to be obeyed, a God whom we can neither control nor manipulate, we have fashioned a false God, a kind of pretend God, a tame, domesticated, wimpy God, who can be depended upon to simply affirm all our preferences. Instead of humanity being made in the image and likeness of God, we have professed, perhaps made up a God fashioned in our image and likeness. This imagined God enables a moral universe that is solely the product of personal choice, where doing your own thing has replaced doing God's thing. Even among some Catholics, following one's own personal bliss has sometimes replaced following Jesus Christ. This phony Christianity seems to function without any need of conversion, without any boundaries, without doctrine, without a sense of right and wrong, without a commitment to justice and peace, and most shamefully, without reference to the life-shattering challenge of the Lord's death upon the cross. This false religion is clearly a lie that has nothing to do with true Christianity. Oh, there is great good news in our faith, and the consolation of the gospel is both real and wonderful. God's love and mercy are precious gifts that God persistently offers us. But the Word of God is always a two-edged sword that cuts two ways, that reassures, but also demands. The God revealed in the Bible is a jealous Lord and lover. The one true God demands complete loyalty of heart, mind, strength, and soul. And just as surely as God loves us, we are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. So in order to receive the gift of God's great mercy, we must ourselves be merciful to one another. And as today's gospel about the last judgment so dramatically reminds us, God never imposes His great gift of forgiveness, and God never forces us to live Christian lives. The Creator and Redeemer doesn't treat us like little children, but instead, God calls us to spiritual maturity and actually allows us to choose. And there are real and terrible consequences for selfish, sinful, personal choices. Not all those who cry out, "Lord, Lord," will be saved. Not all those who gather together on this great solemnity of Christ the King are guaranteed a free pass into heaven. But rather, according to the clear teaching of Jesus, only those who do God's will be counted among the redeemed. Only those who put their faith into action will be welcomed into heaven. Only those who take care of people in need, only those givers and servers are promised a place in paradise. The entire Gospel of Matthew, chapter after chapter, hammers away the same demanding message. If we ignore the poor of this world, the weak, the sick, the persecuted, we are ignoring the very person of Jesus Christ. But if we share even a cup of water with one of God's least little ones, we are truly serving the Lord Himself. You know, years ago when I was growing up, there was a lot more preaching about God's judgment, about the consequences of sin, and about the reality of both heaven and hell. And an important aspect of the message of Fatima that today we especially commemorate was that Our Lady of the Rosary appeared to those three shepherd children asking for constant prayer in order to save sinners. The Fatima prayer that many of us use daily to conclude each decade of the Rosary implores the mercy of God in this way. Oh my Jesus, save us from our sins, deliver us from the fires of hell, and lead all souls to heaven, especially those most in need of your mercy. Today's Feast of Christ the King and all the appointed scripture readings for this time of year are all intentionally given to dramatically challenge our complacency. They deliberately try to shake us up, to warn us, to be alert and watchful, and to be ready for judgment on the glorious day of the Lord. The message is that in today's first reading from Ezekiel, the last I will seek out, the strayed I will bring back, the injured I will bind up, the sick I will heal, but the sleek and the strong I will destroy, shepherding them rightly. This is the message from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, today's second reading. After that will come the end, when Christ will hand over the kingdom to God his Father. Christ must reign until God has put all his enemies under his feet. And that is also the message of today's Holy Gospel according to Matthew, which describes the consummation of the world, the last judgment on that terrible day of wrath. At the conclusion of all time and history, Jesus will say to unrepentant sinners, "Depart from me into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. As often as you neglected to do it to these least little ones, you neglected to do it to me." Now, this is not a message I much like to hear, nor a message I much like to preach, but it is exactly the message I need to preach and that all of us, myself very much included, need to hear and then try to live. Because finally, this is a message of hope. This is a word of tough love. Our God is a God who speaks this strongly because our God wants so strongly to save us from a world hideously distorted by sin and going straight to hell. It should also be a great reassurance that Our Lady of Fatima, Our Lady of the Rosary, Our Blessed Mother, the Comforter of the afflicted, the Refuge of sinners, continues to pray with us and for us, that we may be converted, enter into heaven, and embrace that bliss that lasts forever and ever. And so on this solemnity of Christ the King, on this last Sunday of our year of grace, at the very edge of Advent, at the beginning of a year especially dedicated to the consecrated religious who live and serve here, we should all consider our eternal destiny. What we await are a new heaven and a new earth. The reign of God is at hand, and so the Church must always live with longing in expectation of the Lord's imminent return in glory. Among all the gifts that the consecrated religious who serve among us give witness is to be living signs of that kingdom that is breaking into our world. At every Mass, we can also catch sight of God's eternal reign. In the appointed scriptures, we will always hear the words of life that teach us God's unvarnished truth. In the most blessed sacrament, we already experience the Lord's real presence, and we anticipate His second coming. In our worship, our praise, and our thanks at this Mass, through the eyes of faith, we are already bathed in inexhaustible splendor, embraced by infinite love, and restored through God's gift of grace. We already taste and see the great goodness of the Lord, and so are inspired to enthrone Him in our hearts and in our lives. As Jesus once taught us to pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." In obedience to His teaching, may we always serve Jesus in our daily choices as our Lord and our King. United in prayerful company with Our Lady of Fatima and all the saints and angels, despite wars and rumors of war, even in the face of this world's malice and persecution, constant in our prayer for sinners, unwavering in our own continuing conversion, may we all remain steadfast in the Catholic faith. And as the Church pleads on this awesome solemnity, and as we must always plead until the dawn of eternity, may grace come and this world pass away. Maranatha, amen. Come, Lord Jesus.